today I'm going to be sharing with us from Psalm 24. Psalm 24 is where we're going to be today. And as you turn there in your Bible, we're going to put it up on the board also. Psalm 24 is right after Psalm 23. And probably one of the most read passages of Scripture or the most memorized passage of Scripture is going to be Psalm 23. And we sometimes forget that God's Word has an equalness to it. While certain passages tug at our heart and draw us in, other passages of Scripture are just as important, and we need to be in them and we need to be studying them. And if you will, Psalm 24, following right behind Psalm 23, has some important words for us. And we spoke in the first service, and I said, you know, you haven't been to too many funerals where they give you a prayer card, and they give you, and they turn it over, and instead of Psalm 23, it says Psalm 24. Or the Lord's Prayer, that's not the Lord's Prayer, it's Psalm 24. God's going to speak to us today about something that is very timely for our life, our times, happening right now. Some of it is going to be a message of get ready. And some of it is going to be a message about, are you expecting? Are we expecting the Lord's return? Are we expecting Him to come back? Are we anticipating that? Is that in our heart? Is that where our eyes are fixed on the skies, looking to the heavens, where at any moment our Lord Jesus could appear in the heavens, and in a split moment of time, pow, He's back and we're out of here?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That ought to be our heart. Anticipation of that. Psalm 24, stand with me if you will, as I read these verses of Scripture. Psalm 24, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read 10 verses. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. There you go. The world, and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands, a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek His face. And we just finished singing about face to face with the Lord. Hallelujah. Who seek His face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Before you're seated, say to someone, say to them, our God is sovereign God. Our God is sovereign God. You may be seated. Title for today's message is this, Eminent Domain. Today I'm going to talk about God's eminent domain. God's rule over this world. God's control over this world. God's sovereignty in this world. All the earth and everything in it, and every person made, and all who have been, and if the Lord should delay His return, all who will be, God has complete control and rules over all things. Verse 1, look at it in Psalm 24. It begins with these words, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Whose earth is this?
The Lord's
earth. Sometimes as we think about things as man sees this world, they don't think about this earth as the Lord's. They think this earth is ours. We're living here. We're ruling here. We're reigning here. We'll have big armies. We'll have stronger armies than somebody else. We'll be in control. We'll look at our world and we'll say, let's have the certain person elect. He's going to rule over. He's going to control everything in this world. Big mistake. God is over all. Some have this attitude that the nations will rule over this world. Some have the attitude rulers, conquerors. Some think Mother Earth is taking care of herself, all by herself. Others say Mother Nature takes care of everything. No, the scriptures declare right here. And when God's word says it, I believe it. And if God speaks it, he will surely bring it to pass. The word of God declares unto us, this earth we are on doesn't belong to us. This earth that we are on doesn't belong to the armies of the world. This earth that we are on doesn't belong to Wall Street. This earth that we are on doesn't belong to Washington or Moscow or anywhere else. This earth that we are on belongs to Jesus. And he has eminent domain over this planet. The next thing it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything. You check this word out, everything in Hebrew, and you'll be surprised to find out that word in Hebrew means everything. You can get your concordance out, and you go to the back of the concordance, and you check this word out in Greek, and you'll be surprised to find out that this word means everything. Because everything means everything. And everything from the smallest tadpole to the biggest elephant belongs to God. Everything from the most famous person in this world to a little baby born down the hospital this morning belongs to God. You belong to God. Tell somebody, I belong to God. That ought to help your attitude today. You belong to God. That's why we're supposed to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants to have a personal relationship with you because you're his. He should have eminent domain over you. We're going to talk about eminent domain today. Everything that is in it belongs to God. That's what the word says. Then it says the world and all who live in it. Every living person and every living creature. So with we're talking about every living person, we need to understand that it means Christians and even non-Christians. They belong to God too, except they're in big trouble. That means the good people and the bad people. They belong to God. That means church and the never churched. Why are we following people that are never churched people? Why do we raise up leadership in our world when this world belongs to Jesus? Would we put people in office or elect them or follow them or watch them on television or pay their football salaries or their basketball salaries? Why would we do anything with anybody who is an unchurched person who doesn't know God, doesn't love God, doesn't care about God? Why are we supporting such things? The never churched people. They were lucky they were in church when they got baptized as an infant, when they got splashed. The next time they were in church is when they got married. And the last time they were in church is when they go to funerals. That's the extent of their church experience. They've never heard the gospel being preached. They've never cared to open a Bible. They don't even know Sunday school from, I don't know what. These are the people that the world is following. These are the people that are on God's earth and give God no recognition, give God no praise. And they're the people that we're listening to and putting on platforms, and they're the people that we follow and listen to and give great praise to. Foolishness. Absolute foolishness. On God's green planet that belongs to Him, we have these people that could care less about God. Well, guess what? The game's not over yet. Time's running out. It's coming to a conclusion. Changes are about to happen. Pow! Boom! It's different. That's what's going to happen. That is about to happen. It could happen at any moment. The foolishness of our world goes to the world's dump heap. The foolishness of this world goes in the dumpsters and taken out to Trash Mountain. And that's who we're following. Who's sovereign over all of this? God. Turn to your neighbor and say, He has eminent domain. He has eminent domain. The first part about eminent domain, I want to look at the large picture. Then we're going to sharpen our focus and get a little closer to home. How does eminent domain work? Works like this. The state is going to build a highway. And it's going to come from one city to another. And if you're going to build a highway, the best thing to do is build it in the most straight direction you can, from point A to point B. So the state comes in and they buy up all the land and take all the houses out and bring in all the dirt and build all the bridges and build all the roads and paint the lines and open the ramps, and then we drive on it. What about the people whose houses were there? I'm not opposed to progress. Here's what we need to understand. The state is building a road, and your house is where they want to build the road. And you say, I don't want to give up my house. This is where we raised our family. This is where we had our babies. This is where we sat around here and ate our meals. This is where our family has been established. What do you mean I have to give up my house? The state has eminent domain in that state to take over the properties. I don't like that. Or let's make it a little bigger. You got a farm, and the farm is in a valley, and it's been four generations. Great-great-grandpa bought this farm. Great-grandpa farmed it. Pop-pop farmed it. Dad farmed it. And now we have to farm it, and we're farming it. And we're going to do what? We're going to have to leave because they're going to put a dam down further in the valley, and they're going to flood the whole valley and make a big lake and have hydroelectric power and stop the people from downstream of getting flooded in their neighborhood. But they're taking our neighborhood away. The state has the right to come in and take your family farm because the state has eminent domain. Listen to this. Eminent domain is defined as the right of a government to take private property for public use by virtue of the superior dominion of the sovereign power over lands within the state's jurisdiction. I hear words like sovereign power and superior dominion. Well, if the state can exercise eminent domain over its territory, you better believe that God of heaven and earth who has made all things and everything is his, has eminent domain over planet Earth. Think about that one for a bit. The Lord Jesus Christ may be ready at any moment to come back and seize everything. Oh, it'll be wonderful. Jesus is coming back for this world that he has made. And he's going to seize it all because he has complete sovereign jurisdiction over this planet, according to Psalm 24. The Lord could be coming back to take it back. I'm the Lord of the earth. I'm taking it back. I spoke this world into existence. I am taking it back. All things have been created through me. I'm taking it back. Man may think it's his. I'm taking it from man. Government may think it's theirs. I'm taking it from government. I'm taking it all back. The devil may think this is his. I'm taking it back. The devil failed at stealing the earth. Jesus says, give it over. You're out of here. Hallelujah. Give it up, devil. It doesn't matter who wants to resist it. It doesn't matter who doesn't want it to happen, because there's a lot of people that wouldn't want it to happen. But that's not stopping eminent domain. Jesus has eminent domain. That's good news, child of God. Because when he comes back, this world is not going to be like it is right now. There's going to be rearrangement. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a new sheriff in town. He's coming back. His name is Jesus. And he has eminent domain over the planet that he created. Eminent domain over the planet that he made. Eminent domain over everything that is here, you and me. That's the big picture. And he's coming back. And he's a little mad. You say, Jesus could be mad? Absolutely. Book of Revelation tells us he returns with the fury of God in God's wine press. What's a wine press for? Squashing the grapes. He's going to squish a lot of things. And it's all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, that's the first part of eminent domain. That's the big picture. That's planet Earth. Let's take this eminent domain and narrow it down. We'll adjust the picture a little tighter. We'll make it a little tighter. Yeah, our floodlight became a spotlight. Now the spotlight is on me and you, individually. Believers. Does Christ have eminent domain in your life? He's supposed to. But does he? Look at verse 3. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in God's holy place? Who can go into the presence of God? Who can stand in God's holy place? Who would be able to do that? The high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he had to go in with a blood sacrifice, and they had to tie little tinkerbells on the hem of his garment, because if they didn't hear any more movement, he had a rope on him. They had to pull his dead body out. Isaiah was in the temple, and the presence of the Lord was there, and he says, and the train of the Lord filled the temple. And Isaiah says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord. I'm dead. He survived, thank God. Who can go into the presence of God? The church, the people of God, the saints of the Lord, those who have been washed in the blood. Now, whenever you see these interrogatives, there's two interrogative sentences right there. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? That's asking a question. Second one, who may stand in his holy place? That's the second question. When God does this in Scripture, For ask the question so that we think and we start thinking, what's the answer to the question? And the answer to the question is in the next verse. He who has clean hands, a pure heart, and who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Those two words, he who, it's kind of cute. He who does this. He who what? Has clean hands, a pure heart, does not lift up his soul to an idol, and who does not swear by anything false. No swearing. What do we see from this? I think we need to see that God wants us to clean up our act. How many of you have ever walked into your kid's room and go, what happened in here? Clean this up. I'll be back in 10, 15 minutes. I better see some action here. God's looking at us and he's saying, you better clean this up because I'm coming back. And I'm getting very close to coming back. And he has eminent domain. He's supposed to have eminent domain in your life. So guess what, church? We've got some work to do on us. It's time for us to scrub-a-dub-dub ourselves. God is saying to us, don't miss a spot. Be ready for my return. I expect you to know that I have eminent domain in your life. Complete rule, complete control, complete authority, and complete sovereignty. So we should be going around going, God, how do you want it to be? How do you want me to be? What do I have to fix? What areas have to be fixed up? What area, Lord, am I kind of not turning over to you? He who has what? Clean heart. God, examine my heart. Know my heart, O God, that I might serve you better. Lord, check my hands. Are my hands involved in anything that they shouldn't be doing? Lord, look at my soul. Lord, I don't want to lift up any idols. No idols. And an idol is anything that hinders you from giving God complete dominion in your life. So you can have some things, but they've got to be number 12, 13, 14, 20, 28, 50. Jesus has to be first. And what else? Never swear by what is false. Jesus says, clean up the language. Give me praise. I don't want to hear things come out of your mouth, out of the same mouth that you praise me with. Well, now that's eminent domain. But something else is taking place while we're in this world, and it's called public domain. How does public domain and God's sovereignty, eminent domain, and public domain, how do they exist together? Here's public domain. The realm of embracing property rights that belong to the community at large are unprotected by copyrights or patents and are subject to appropriation by anyone. So, I use an example of your hymnal. You can open the hymnal and it'll tell you who wrote the hymn and who wrote the words, and who wrote the music. And there may be a copyright on it. And it could be from a long time ago. But you'll also know as you go thumbing through, you find, here's a hymn, that it says this hymn is public domain. It's been around so long, and it's just now public ownership. Anybody's free to use it. Public domain is what is going on in the public. And everybody says, I have a right to do it. That's in direct conflict to eminent domain. So, the attitude of everybody else is doing it, I can do it too, it's okay, doesn't fly with God. We have to be careful. We're not governing our lives by public domain. Because public domain is not necessarily pleasing God at all. Look at verse 5. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Who? The man with the clean hands, the pure heart, the man who doesn't lift his soul up to an idol, and the man who doesn't swear by anything false. They're the people we want to be, right? He will receive blessings from the Lord. That ought to be us. We want to recognize, under God's eminent domain, he blesses who he wants to bless. And he blesses how he wants to bless. And he blesses when he wants to bless. Because God is sovereign. God can do what he wants, when he wants, however he wants to do it. We may not agree with it, but he can do it. We may not be in favor of my taking my land away here when the state takes it, and there may be some things that God does, and we may not be all, yippee. But his sovereign. We need to make sure that we are the person who's in the place of receiving the blessings and the vindication of God. Now, we all know what blessing is, but do you know what the word vindication is? Vindication. Okay? It's where we are forgiven and we don't deserve it. And we're so forgiven, it's like no trace of what we did. We are totally vindicated. What a God we serve. Total vindication. I even don't want to look over my shoulder in case I have bad stuff following me. It's not there anymore. It's erased. Oh, but Lord, I've got a history. What history? I took it away. Oh, but I messed up here, God. It's gone. I missed the mark over there. It's okay. It's gone. God wants us living with no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who can do that? All sovereign God. All authority God. He can take his kids and clean us up so good by the blood of Jesus. There's not a trace of sin anywhere. Sovereign God, Almighty God, putting in place his power and his authority in our lives. His imminent domain is great news, everybody. Now, I finish with this. You ever hear the expression, wild horses couldn't keep me away? This is, wild horses couldn't keep me away. Do you know what? Something's going to happen very soon. It's going to be the return of the Lord. We're going up to glory. We're going to have a 7-year wedding supper of the Lamb. We're coming back at the end of the 7 years, and we're coming back on white horses, following our Lord and our Savior, riding a white horse. And we're coming back, and Jesus is going to exercise eminent dominion over this world. The one who is called the Word of God is going to speak the Word of God, and the double-edged sword of the Word of God is going to slay all the enemies of God. And we're coming back with him, and we're going to be riding white horses, and we're going to be with the conqueror of conquerors, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, and he is going to exercise complete dominion over this world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Until that time, the clock is ticking. Uh-oh. No more ticks. Uh-oh. What happens now? Uh-oh. I see one coming on a white horse. And he's heading in Earth's direction. Are you ready for Christ's imminent dominion in your life? I'm going to pray. You pray with me. You mean it with all your heart. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be ready for His return. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Lord, I accept today that you went to Calvary, onto the cross, and took my sins upon you. The Father placed the sins on you so that I could be vindicated, made right, and my sins washed in the blood. By faith, I accept you as my Savior, and I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.